Canadian musician John Brooks' album Delicate Cages reworks folk tradition to tell modern stories. Honor killings, child soldiers turned cage fighters, and the beauty of mercy are just some of the subjects Brooks takes on in his work. Brooks' desire to write narratives through music stems back to his travels through Eastern Europe in the late 1990s.
I'm 45 now. I was 28 at the time when I was doing all that traveling, and I believed, I think as a lot of people in their 20s do, if I just go to the place, I'll be able to understand what's going on, because I'm not getting anything out of the newspapers. I can't figure out, you know, what's going on in this part of the world, and I wanted to learn more about it. So I just thought, I'm going to go there. And I got my backpack and I went there, and it was crazy. There was no infrastructure for passport situations like that. I mean, they just laughed when they saw my passport. They let me in at my own peril. And when I saw that place, I came home with this this heroic kind of inspired idea that, you know, the Western world needs to hear about these stories, and this is my job now. And of course, I didn't have the language or any of the tools necessary to write such songs. And that was in, what was that, 97? It wasn't until 2005 that I actually picked up the guitar again, because it took me that long to
figure out how to
do that. Mm-hmm. And first and foremost, educate myself. I was a rebellious kid that never read a book until I was 25. You know, I wasn't ready for school. I educated myself. I went back to school. I went to university.
I was going to say, I find that surprising, because your music has a lot of kind of literary references. Your latest album is named related to poetry. It's called Delicate Cages.
Yes.
How do you think, from that first album in 2005, 2006, how have you changed as a writer between that time and that latest album that came out in 2012?
The thing that I noticed the most, the biggest change, is I've learned how to say more with less words, and for lack of a better word, I think I've become a little less esoteric. That first album was pretty densely layered with some strange and I wouldn't say strange, but I would say obscure literary references. You know, an Irish poet named James Clarence Mangan. You know, there was one song where I quote him and things like that. I still love the album and I like the songs and everything. But I think today I'm more and this comes from playing live in front of audiences and standing in front of people and singing. I've become more urgent in communicating, and I've become much more clear, I think.
You still have stuck with some of your literary references in your work. You have a Robert Bly poem, mm-hmm. Taking of the Hands of Someone You Love. You see, they are delicate cages, the name of your album.
Right.
Why did you choose to name your album from a piece of poetry?
Paradoxes are in every one of my songs. That's probably the thing that fascinates me more than anything. The concept that opposites are equal. The concept that if you pursue an idea to its furthest extreme, it becomes its opposite. And paradoxes are in every underlying everything I do. And I was interested in the ideas of freedom and enslavement, freedom and imprisonment. And I knew that if I just sort of I knew that if I did an album if I called it Freedom and Imprisonment, something simple like that, that immediately a negative connotation would be taken from mm-hmm. it. People generally don't think of cages as positive, but as the Robert Bly poem suggests, there are such things as good cages. Mm-hmm. I mean, we make decisions, and our decisions are in and of themselves cages to some degree, and that's a good thing. That's the freedom of choosing what we do and whom we love, you know. And those are cages too, and they're not necessarily bad cages. And I wanted to make that that obvious in the title.
Would you play something for us?
Absolutely. Mercy, the key to most cages. Cool. All right, here we go.
I used to admire most a melody and what it could do with love and words. And I used to admire most the poet who, with her pen, untangle this world into verse. And I used to admire all I thought was profound. I plagiarized the prophets and the saints. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. And I waited out my low youth in a fallow spectacle, in line snaking round coliseums. Yes, I marched in a drench under fame's soft fist clenched, and I paid all the scalpers just to see him. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. And I admire the pure of heart that will one thing. And I admire the steady in their team. And I admire decision and the mind that endures it, and those who speak though they be shamed. And I admire all the reckless voices for the voiceless, and the man standing in the path of tanks. Ah, but now, now that I'm older, oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Oh, it's mercy that I admire most. Mercy.
That was John Brooks performing his song Mercy off his album Delicate Cages. Your album, as you've mentioned, covers a wide range of topics, from cage fighting to Palestinian suicide bombers, language laws. Why cover? I guess when I think of folk music, I don't think of modern political issues. Why cover this kind of in this genre that a lot of people associate with the old?
Well, I am. The more I pursue this career, the harder time I have, it seems, with trying to decide what is folk music, I have to admit. I know that I'm a link in a chain of performers and songwriters that are now regarded as folk songwriters. Mm-hmm. I know that much. I also know that a number of my heroes in folk song tradition, you know, Woody Guthrie, for example, Buffy St. Marie, Dylan. I know that a lot of the people that influenced me were part of a subversive genre of songwriting. Mm-hmm. So I suppose that's one reason why you might some of the topical aspects of the song. But you know, this goes back to the idea of writing what I want to know more about, writing what I'm interested in. I don't know that there's been a time in human history where there's been more of a glut of information and stuff available to us. Like, there just seems to be endless. I mean, we're getting to the point where we just can't take any more of it. And I can't imagine imposing myself and my songs and another CD onto the pile
of stuff
of claptrap if it didn't if it didn't raise some serious questions about who we are and where we're at, in the effort, in the aim to improve ourselves a bit, and first and foremost in the aim to have compassion and empathy for each other a bit more. So I suppose that's why some of the subjects, that might explain in part as to why I chase after certain subjects. I'm looking for subjects that are, that seem to be on the pulse of contemporary wounds.
I know that the genre of folk is kind of being defined within it is, it's kind of difficult, I guess, or not, maybe not the most accurate way to describe you as an artist, but what is the folk scene like in Canada versus America? Is there much of a difference?
Oh, good question. I don't know. I'm really at the moment, and by moment I mean in the last, say, 6-7 months, conflicted with the term folk.
Yeah.
If I play a folk club, whether it's in Canada or, you know, whether it's on Salt Spring Island, British Columbia, or whether it's in Houston, Texas, and it's called a folk club, I know one thing, and it's not, and it doesn't make me happy, and that's the majority of the people in that crowd are going to be over 50 years old. And sometimes, as unheroic as it may sound, when I'm sitting there playing and singing, I'm not necessarily thinking about the song Mercy. I'm sometimes thinking, who am I going to be playing to in 20 years? Honestly. So that's one of those characteristics, that's a characteristic of that folk scene that I would like to see change somehow. And I don't know how to do that, to be honest. I know one thing, that, and that is when I play in front of any age groups, I leave the gig with new fans. And sometimes I wonder if the word folk should be just obliterated from my press kit, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm not writing songs for 60-year-olds. I mean, I am, but I'm not writing it for just, you know, the baby boomers. I'm writing songs for, I mean, especially my songs, I think, are geared towards the generation that is on the cusp of being able to make decisions in the world, you know? Not for the retirees.
You said when people leave, you know, and they really appreciate it. Do you get a sense that you are getting through even to the audiences do have?
I wouldn't be doing, I would not be doing this career if mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I was making headway with people. I mean, this is just too brutal on everything. I mean, mm-hmm. it's hard to stay married and do this job. Like, yeah. It's hard to pay rent and do this job. It's a lot of travel. It's a lot of heartache. And I certainly wouldn't do it if I didn't feel like I was reaching people. And I honestly feel that at the end, you know, most, if not, well, all of my gigs, I would go so far to say as on a good night, 9 out of 11 go home inspired and thinking about something they didn't ordinarily, you know, think of. And 2 out of 11 are going home deeply offended. And that, to me, is success. Yeah. If I can offend 2 out of 11 people and inspire 9, I feel like I've found my vocation.
Well, John Brooks, it's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you. We're going to play a song off your album to take us out. What are we going to hear?
Cage Fighter. Speaking of the folk tradition again, this is one thing that's the pugilist song has always been a prominent type of ballad in folk tradition, and I wanted to do one that was sort of updated in the 21st century. So this is about a cage fighter who was once a child soldier in Bosnia, and it's in part based on a true story.
This is Cage Fighter off of the album Delicate Cages by John Brooks.
Well, they called me the Sarajevo Sandman. I had a lights-out kick to the head. It was the cage that taught me how to love as I killed. It was the cage that taught me never to hate. I was a child soldier back home in Tuzla. I've been fighting men since I was 10. I wore my dead brother's football jersey, throwing grenades made of Coca-Cola cans.
I had a battery acid smell in my throat. It was the smell of adrenaline. In the cage I failed the Santa Fe, closest to God. In the cage I loved and never feared a thing. And I still miss the River Bosna. I miss that green water now and again.
Artist John Brooks will perform tomorrow at 2 p.m. at Flat, Black, and Circular in East Lansing, and at 7 p.m. as part of the Pump House Concert Series. The Pump House is located at 368 Orchard Street in East Lansing.
Oh, I wish I was still in the cage where I loved more than I feared. Where I loved more than I feared. Yeah, we got out soon after the war. We had a mattress on the floor on Islington.